sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And you know that's my intention, to get you sexier and happier all the time. And I don't think today's show is going to disappoint you at all. As a matter of fact, I am really excited. Today, I have one of my teachers. And, you know, I've talked a lot about Tantra on this show. I've talked a lot about all kinds of practices, and I've had lots of guests over the years, and this is a very special person for me because I really learned a lot from him in my developing years in tantric practice. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce him and then bring him onto the show. His name is Kirby Jacobson, and Kirby has been studying and teaching Indian, Tibetan, and Chinese Tantra and related practices from 1991 to the present. His current approach is applying tantric understandings to every moment of living. And if you've learned anything from listening to the show, you've learned that you need to apply this to every moment of living. So this is kind of where I got it from Kirby Jacobson. So Kirby, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Hello.
It's great to have you as my guest, and I really do acknowledge you as one of my great teachers. So let's get into it. Let's find out how you got to Tantra. Maybe you could tell us what led you to it.
Yes, thank you. Excellent question, and one that brings us all into spiritual practices, those of us who pursue this method. When I was a child, I had a number of unusual experiences that I began by reporting to my mother, and she had problems with it. She was concerned about my spiritual well-being. When I was a teenager, I got into entheogens of LSD and various things like that. And then later on, I really got into yoga. I started storming the gates of heavens, and what do you know, yoga actually works, and I had a big Kundalini accident. And after all of that, I decided that somewhere, somehow, somebody must know about the events that I was experiencing, and it clearly was not happening within a Christian context. So I looked at a variety of things. What actually got me into Tantra, surprisingly enough, I ran into a book on the philosophy of language on mantra, and it was by a man who was a philosopher of language at Columbia University, and he was a tantric priest. When he talked about mantra, he talked about it in a way that showed me that there was a deeper understanding of the nature of the world than I had run into before, and an understanding that seemed to make sense of some of the things that I'd had as life experiences. I was on the trail at that point.
So let me just ask you a couple things, because you mentioned a couple things that people may or may not understand on the show. Of course, they've heard about mantra before, but I'd like you to define it in your way, you know, or however you want to define it for them, so that when I don't want to assume that anybody knows everything that we're talking about. So how would you say mantra that was referenced in this book that you read?
Okay. A mantra is, the literal translation of it is mind protector. And what it does, the way that it operates, more often than not, it is a small phrase of seed syllables that has specific effects. And when you repeat those, especially if you do it following the plain song, the theme or the tone of it, when you repeat those, it resonates within your spiritual being, and it's more than a physical thing. It resonates in your spiritual being and brings about the effect that that particular phrase is supposed to induce.
So examples of that's great. would be like Om Mani Padme Hum, or
yes,
Om Kriya Babaji Nama Om, or
right, and
Om
so
Namah Shivaya.
Om Namah Shivaya, right. So when somebody reads those and repeats them, they will repeat them using, you know, their native language tonality and so forth. So ideally, it's really good to get a mantra for somebody who's familiar with the tones used in it. And any given mantra can be sung in a number of different ways to accomplish different things.
That's great. Thank you for explaining that. And then you also mentioned that you had a Kundalini accident. And so I'm going to just bet that nobody knew what you meant there. So when you said you had a Kundalini accident, what did that mean?
This is something that has happened to a number of people in the U.S., especially during the last 30 or 40 years with the increased interest in spirituality. Kundalini is the core energy system within our body that is the, quote, non-measurable energy. It's not energy per se. You can't say voltage or wattage or whatever, but it can be experienced within the body. And generally speaking, a yogic practice will want to take this in this interior energy and move it in particular ways so that we can become enlightened, illumined, and whatever. So then it is our natural energy, and it follows our natural energy paths. But if you don't do things in the correct way, it's similar, shall we say, to learning how to ice skate without beginning, just charging out onto the ice and seeing how long you can stand up. And that's kind of how I did it.
I look at it more as kind of putting your hand in an electric socket, your finger in an electric socket. You know, like
yeah.
All of a sudden your body is charged and it's charging and you're like, what?
Oh, yeah.
What just happened
yeah,
to me? Very
much so. The strength of the experience, it varies from person to person. The strength
yeah.
of the experience is such that it completely erases everyday consciousness. And there's this like ongoing roar of light that's rising through the body that is completely distracting. When it
yeah.
happened to me, I remember after I'd been in that state for about a day or two, I started thinking, now, how can I possibly support myself if this doesn't go away? Oh, yeah, I could be a janitor. And then I realized, oh, no, that's way too complicated.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad you came out of it, Kirby. I'm really glad you came out of it. Let's talk a little bit about how you apply tantric teachings in your life, you know, how it changed your whole outlook about things, because it seems like you didn't have that great of a start with
you know,
the way you were being and the way your mother wanted you to be or whatever, I mean, which is pretty common for our generation. But how did this all work out?
Thank you for that. That's a good one. In the beginning, my approach was intellectual because I had a pretty strong intellect. It served me well in school. It served me well talking to adults and so forth. So I felt like that was my leading card that I had to offer. Where Tantra really transformed me was realizing how important the heart is, that the heart leads the head, and how body knowing leads the heart. When we learn, when we speak, when we realize from an integrated way of being in the world, it works far better than any single element that we can use. And so that has transformed everything in my life, from buying peas at the grocery store to, you know, to whitewater kayaking, to finding the wind when I'm racing sailboats. It has changed the whole works.
That's beautiful. It's really put very well. The heart leads the head and body knowing leads the heart. That's just beautiful. Thanks for that. Well, we're going to take a little break here. When we come back, I want to talk about what are some of its distinctions between traditional tantric teachings and Western tantra. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about that in our world. And it's, you know, there are people who argue about it. There are arguments about it on Facebook. I mean, there's arguments about it all the time. And If I want to hear from anyone about the distinctions and the differences that people could be looking for and how there's no right way about it, I want to hear this from you. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Hamler. Today I'm interviewing one of my teachers. I'm going to call him the world's, he's probably not going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think he's the world's greatest Tantra historian. He has studied Tantra, as he just said, intellectually with a passion, and then he put it into his life and made it work in his body. So he knows it from both the head and the heart, and I'm going to tap him for that. So his name is Kirby Jacobson. We'll be right back.
My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Are you longing for more passion in your life? How about deeper intimacy? Would you happen to be stuck in a rut? I am so excited to tell you about the next ISTA Shamanic Spiritual Sexual Level 1 Training, March 8th to the 15th, near Tucson, Arizona. This is an 8-day residential retreat that will be led by myself, Crystal Dawn Morris, and Lance Cole. Thousands of people on 5 continents have benefited from this training over the past 10 years, and I'm thinking you could be the next one to receive the benefits. You'll awaken your ability to live and love authentically. You'll explore masculine and feminine energy through shamanic ritual, guided visualizations, dance, and breathwork inside of an amazing community. You'll be empowered to know yourself as whole and complete, and your heart will be free. You can go to butterflyworkshops.com, click on workshops to find out more about this amazing week-long retreat, and even better, you can register. You know, March is just around the corner. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I have the honor of interviewing Kirby Jacobson. And Kirby, where we left off in the last segment was about applying tantric teachings in your life. And thank you so much for what you shared with us. And now I'd like to know if you could shed some light on the misunderstandings that people have between traditional tantric teachings and Western tantra.
Okay. So I'm going to do it from two viewpoints, the immediate viewpoint, our day, and my estimations on where all this came from.
Okay.
So to begin, immediately, when you go to India, and I have, and you teach tantra in India, very often people expect magical practices of one kind or another, because that is a very common application of tantric teachings there. And this is through one of the ancient books called the Atharva Veda, and a wide range of materials written for various tantric practices. In India, people will not call themselves a tantric, but they will use things that are tantric. As an example, Hatha Yoga was developed as part of a tantric exposition on how to tune into the body and use the Hatha, sun, moon, of the body and bind those together to create an understanding. Also, with various other practices, such as pujas and things like that, they all use a variety of elements to bind together to have a particular kind of understanding. In the West, we didn't start out with the toolkit. It came here during the sexual revolution, Renaissance, the psychedelic Renaissance, and so forth. So our immediate use of this tool is an extension of what we all already know, which was the human potential movement, the movement of the 60s, and a variety of other things that were coming in during that time frame, some newer psychological approaches and so forth. So those were being applied as our interpretation of what we thought Tantra was. And as a result, we have a Tantra that is here that is primarily intent, and its intention is to improve our sense of well-being, our happiness, our pleasure, the level of connection that we have with other people, and a variety of things that are not directly related to an expansion into a deeper understanding of all things, not just humans.
Mm.
Okay. Now, where did this come from? I currently feel, based on more and more evidence coming up from a, and this may seem far out, but we can look it up later. But there apparently was a civilization that was a global civilization about 12,000 years ago. And as a result of a catastrophic event, we call it the flood. A number of other societies and civilizations call it different things. This civilization is pretty much destroyed, and it's only left a few very impressive artifacts from that time period. So I'm taking a look then from that viewpoint of a global society that had a lot of deep understandings, and that the Greeks called the Golden Age. Hindus called Satyuga, and there's other names for this time period in other societies. I think that they tried to encode understandings of the nature of the world that could be passed on through people that didn't understand it to people who would. This is our time now. We are the people that these messages are meant for. So when we get these tantric teachings, it's kind of like we're receiving something that has been passed on by somebody who doesn't really get it, but if we unfold the package correctly, then we'll be led to a more profound understanding of the nature of things. It is simply like a cargo cult. A cargo cult in the same way that the people in some Polynesian islands after World War II would build airplanes out of bamboo in the hopes that all the goodies that the servicemen brought before would come again. But they didn't realize that the airplanes made out of bamboo weren't it. The airplane made out of bamboo was a symbol. And so we take those symbols and we unfold them to discover what lies within.
That is about the most profound thing I've ever heard on this particular subject. It's awesome. You know, I just want to say to you that it's funny. We share a teacher, you and I both shared a teacher, Bodhi Avinasha, and there were things mm-hmm. that she never told me to expect. And about 6 or 7 years into the practice, things happened to me, not a kundalini awakening, but one day I woke up and I felt like the masculine and feminine sides of me were getting married, like they were all starting to hold hands. And my brain
Beautiful.
Was integrating in a new way that I didn't understand, but my brain was integrating. And I woke up and I knew I was changed. And I didn't. It took me a long time to figure out how to articulate it, but I just felt like my hemispheres, both in of my heart, you know, of my lungs and my heart center, and my brain, the two hemispheres of my brain were meeting each other and shaking hands or hugging for the first time. And I remember
that's beautiful.
I remember the feeling of it, and I didn't know how to explain it, and I didn't know what was happening to me, but I knew I was altered from the inside out. And no one ever talked to me about that. No one ever said to expect that. And I don't tell people to expect that. I tell them there are a lot of things that could happen to them that if they continue the practices, and they don't have to take my word for it, because I didn't believe anything she ever said. I mean, nothing. I just didn't believe it, but I kept doing the practices. And all of a sudden, I was different. You know, I'm very different from the person that I was when I first started studying. So I feel what you're saying is so true, that if we simply follow the instruction and follow the patterns and follow whatever we want to call them, the keys, different things happen to us that give us this other awareness about everything, just what you said, about everything, and a whole different way to proceed in the world.
So true.
Yeah. So thanks for putting it that way. And you know, it's true. When I've been in India, they look at me like I'm doing magic. And when I met a priest who I wanted to study with in the south of India, he wanted to make sure he didn't want to talk to me until he made sure that I wasn't going to practice black magic. And I laughed. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to, I just want to learn like fire ceremonies. You know, like I don't want to practice black magic. And he couldn't get that. He couldn't even get that. Why I was laughing that he asked that. So
yes,
now
that's
I
that's very much the case there.
Yeah, so now I'm getting an understanding just based on what you said. And it's big. It's profound. Well, how can people apply tantric teachings to their personal and social relationships in a nutshell? I mean, can you say that in a...
Well, actually, you did a rather beautiful job of it. We start with an external partner that we work with. And the reason why we start with another person is because the signal is so strong that we need to tune into. If we try to do it with a tree or a table or a dog, it's more difficult. So it's easiest with another person, even easier than doing things by ourselves. Because as we sense the difference between us and the other person when we're going through the processes that we've been describing, when we sense that difference, it informs our entire being about the news of what it is to be totally present. And so we may start out by sensual experiences or by breathing practices or various image processing or so forth, but all of these are tools, as we were discussing, to open the package up. And when the package opens up, it gets opened by our entire being. One of the real beauties of Tantra for me is that I get to share this with somebody. I'm not up in a cave somewhere. I'm with another human being or other human beings, and we can gaze into each other's eyes and know that we got it.
Yeah, you know, that's so good. And, you know, something else, I look at some other spiritual practices as people wanting to transcend the body and leave. And I look at Tantra as wanting us to come into the body and inhabit. And then we can become transcendent and inhabited at the same time. Like there's no need to go sit in a cave and try to get out of the body. Like we're as fully in the body and present as possible. At the same time, we have these amazing transcendent experiences like they describe in What to Believe. You know, floating in the cosmos, feeling merged with self and another in a whole different way, feeling so godlike and goddess-like, like the closest you could touch to heaven, and having it here on earth. And those are the things that I've experienced, even not with a partner, that I could take myself there. And I could go there with a partner, too. What a great repertoire. So,
yes. When you're talking about the hemispheres of the brain coming mm-hmm. together,
mm-hmm.
they were like the two partners in a ceremony.
Right.
And yes, very much so. And that is the internal tantra. And that is literally the internal tantra practice that you did spontaneously that is a taught practice in historical tantra.
Well, it just, you know, it was a great surprise to me. And it's, you know, it's lasted a very long time. I could never go back. It's a true paradigm shift. I could yeah. never, ever go back. I lived primarily in my masculine. You know, I was a successful career woman, you know, who produced a lot of results and income and had the trappings of everything. And I know you know that because I know you used to frequent coming to my home. So I had yeah. all of that. I was a woman living in my masculine, and Tantra gave me a whole new empowerment and awakening, blossoming of my feminine, and allowed me to be as open and vulnerable and female and changeable and all that as it allowed me to be successful in all, in every aspect. So it made all of it okay. Everything got better with time and with the practices. So,
yes, that's one of the things that really drew me to tantric practice. Before then, I was headed for that cave in the mountains, you know, to go become enlightened yes. and so forth. And I came one day to the realization that, okay, so I go up there, so I'm enlightened, so I'm in this cave in the middle of nowhere. Who am I helping? And I realized if I'm going to do a path that actually works, if I'm going to do a path that has an effect, that makes a difference in the world, then I've got to be in the world and of it. I can't go running off to some other conceptual ideation for what the world might be, a conceptual or a spiritual world that's separate from us or any of that, because it became very clear that, well, the phrase, if the goddess is anywhere, the goddess is everywhere. If consciousness mm-hmm. is anywhere, then consciousness is everywhere. And if the Shakti or the spirit of life is anywhere, the spirit of life is everywhere.
And so it is. And so we've discovered. That's
yeah.
awesome. That's awesome. And I can really get how you got it intellectually first and then how it just started to move its way through you. I can really get that.
Yes, in the beginning it was like I had constructed a castle that I couldn't find the door to.
This is so good for people because people now ask, you know, sometimes people don't get it, you know. I have a one-day-long program that I do just to give people a taste of Tantra and see if, you know, it's kind of like a sorting mechanism. It helps them decide whether they want to continue on and really get more in-depth into it, or if they just want to know, you know, they heard Sting talking about it or something, and they just want to know what it is intellectually. But I say to people, you know, if you continue, even what I've given you in this one day, your life will shift in ways that you can't even imagine. And it's all you have to do is do it. And I don't want to make a religion out of it. I'm not going to ask you to make a religion out of it, and you don't even have to believe me. Just do it.
Yes. And that is what I want. I don't need to have people telling me what's going to happen. What I really love, what works for me is, and this is the scientific side of me. I'm going to go on a small segue here. when I went to India, one of the main places that I wanted to go to was the Yoga Scientific Research Institute north of Bombay. They were doing scientific research into yogic practices in the 50s. And for me, that was the homecoming, uniting spirit and science, uniting both of those methodologies, because they're very similar. If you get into an advanced tantric practice, what they will do is they're not going to sit in the front of the room and tell you everything that's going on. They're going to say, take this tool, use it, report back, and if you get what I think you need to get from it, then I'll show you the next one.
That's so right on. That's such a great way of learning. I love it. I love it. That's my preferred way of learning, too. Well, we're going to take another break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other things like the tantric view of the cosmos and what should people do if they want to start in and how they can get in touch with you. Those are the kinds of things we'll talk about. So hopefully everybody listening is really intent on what you're saying, because the other thing about it is that everybody thinks that, oh, tantra, it's all about sex. And you and I aren't even talking about that. We're talking about tantric practice that's deep and you know, breathing, sound and movement, mantra, things like that. So, you know, people have a lot of conceptions and misconceptions about all of it, and this is good. This is helping people see where they could really go if they want to. So we will be right back. I am interviewing Kirby Jacobson. Kirby and I could speak about this for hours and hours and hours. And you're getting just a concise overview from somebody who really, really understands it and gets it. So hopefully you're at the edge of your seats, and we will be right back.
Hey, do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. And there's so much more. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy, and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. These are all topics that can be covered. When? October 10th to 17th, 2015. Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Han, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Han CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
This is Lori Handlers, and I'm bringing you back to Sex and Happiness. And today I'm interviewing Kirby Jacobson, and we're talking about some of the really the underpinnings of the whole practice of Tantra, why somebody would practice it, why you might even be interested in it. And don't kid yourself that if sex is what draws you to it, that's okay. Because that's the portal. A lot of people get themselves there because of sex, and then they find out, oh, my God, this is vast. Sex is just, you know, that picture of the the iceberg, and you only see the tip of it, and then the rest of it is like huge and it's underwater. Well, that's Tantra. So Kirby, how would you say, you know, is there a particular view of the cosmos or a particular worldview of Tantra? Is there a view of it that people that could like encapsulate it?
I will do my best on that, and the way that I will do it is I will do a descriptive journey from meditating to deeper meditating to profoundly deep meditating, and then arising back up to the moment that we're in.
Okay.
So here we go. Okay, so when you start meditating, you're very aware of your senses, the sensory inputs that are going on, sound sensations, and so forth. As you get deeper into meditating, then what happens is that there's just flickers of thoughts in the background and an array of mind stuff that passes by. As you get deeper than that into meditating, the array of mind stuff fades away, the senses fade away, and all there is left is this primordial ground of being. And it is much like a kind of sound, a darkness that flows through every single atom everywhere. You get to that point that some people call it sunyata, or the void. And then when you come back up, you come back up by noticing something, and that forms the primary distinction. So in different societies, the primary distinction may be good and evil, us and them, different things like that, as the primary distinctions that the rest of the building operates upon. So a philosopher by the name of G. Spencer Brown made this statement: to describe a universe, begin with a distinction. And which is saying that any distinction that we draw will further define how that universe is going to turn out. So I will describe what I believe to be the primary distinction of Tantra. When we first come out of that moment, we have two things that are going on. One is awareness. We are aware without object, and that is in the dark state. And then when we become aware of something, then that's the beginning. The something that we become aware of in Tantra is aliveness, or some people call it the feminine energy Shakti, or some people call it Eros, or some people call it love. And for me, the easiest way to see it is through love, because love makes us aware of the integral connection that we have with the object of love, which then gives us a clue that every single thing has that connection, including ourselves. So love becomes that which permeates the universe, and we become aware of that permeation. So the awareness, there's two deities that are important in Tantra, Shiva and Shakti. Shiva represents, in this system, represents the male, the awareness, the consciousness. He's the meditator. Shakti represents aliveness, sensuality, the life force, and she is the bliss that is in the phrase, the ocean of bliss. So you can say then that the world is constructed from the embrace of the awareness of love.
Can you say that one more time, that last piece?
Yes. The world is constructed from the embrace of the awareness of love.
That's beautiful. Wow. And, you know, I that's all I can feel in my life. So
yes.
The gratitude that I have for taking myself on this journey, I can't even, my heart is full of gratitude to myself and everything. Like every lesson, every relationship, every disagreement, every agreement, every meeting, every happenstance, everything. Just what you described. I feel so much gratitude, and I don't know that I would have described it the way you just did, but I could, when you said that, I had a visceral response to that. Like my whole body came alive.
Oh, wow. Well, gratitude is a beautiful way to start, because gratitude in and of itself is embrace, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we are. We are prepared for embrace, and whatever is available before us becomes that which is embraced.
Wow, so amazing. Amazing. Well, Kirby, a couple of quick questions, because we're kind of running out of time here. So one is, where would you recommend a student to begin if they don't have any local Tantra teachers, or even if they do? I always think that people should meet someone and study with someone, and even over Skype, rather than just read a book and think they got it. Because to me, like, I couldn't get balance from reading a book on bike riding, you know?
Right. Yes. So if I can use the analogy of learning how to dance and learning how to play a guitar, you must first begin by doing it. You can't learn how to dance, you can't learn how to play guitar by reading about it.
Right.
And so then the question is, within our circumstance, let's say, if we were born in Kalispell, Montana, as I was, where does one begin? Well, Hatha Yoga is a development of Tantra. Much music is used in Tantra, music that is intended to move the psyche into a more expansive state of consciousness. That's used in Tantra all the time. Dance, there are spiritual dances from all over the world. Tantra and dance are wholly integrated. That's very important in Tantra. And there's a variety of spiritual traditions, and we can begin with the Christian spiritual tradition. When we take a look at the Last Supper, it's very similar to a tantric feast of the initiates in a particular tantric circle. So we can have sacred meals with our friends. If we go out into the forest, or if we go out into the desert, or whatever nature is around us, we can begin by trying to sense with the palms of our hands, or seeing the aliveness that is surrounding us. And as our attention embraces that aliveness, we begin a tantric path with the beginning. Then if we're lucky enough to have a teacher of Tantra somewhere nearby, and just as a side note, one must always be careful with any kind of a teacher. If they tell you what you're supposed to know, then it's probably not the right teacher. But if they give you a tool and say, sally forth and conquer, or whatever like that, then you've got the opportunity to discover something for yourself. And then when you report back to that person what the results are, they didn't lead you. You know that you got there by the use of that tool. And so you have a sense that your experience is more authentic because nobody led you to it. And so any kind of a teacher that you can get that will give you a tool where you will go out and discover something of the nature of the world is a very valuable person to have.
Mm, that is awesome. That is really awesome. It's a great, I wish we learned that in elementary school and in kindergarten. Our whole education would be completely different if we learned that, you know.
Yeah.
Someone should give you a tool and have you use it, and then you'll discover your knowledge. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
All right, Kirby. So, thank you, really. How can people get in touch with you if you want them to? Do you want them to get in touch with you via email or via phone? Why don't we give them some ways to get in touch with you? And, and we'll see.
Okay. The email is spiritforkirby@gmail.com, and that is SPIRIT, the number 4, KIRBY, at Gmail. The phone number is 206-579-4421. And I am of dual citizenship at this point in Washington and Hawaii. So depending on what time of year it is, I will be in one of those locations.
And that's the state of Washington.
State of Washington, yes.
Right.
Thanks for that. That's good.
That's great, Kirby. Well, you know, first of all, I just want to say it's wonderful to speak with you again. It's been years since we actually talked, and I have gratitude towards Facebook because we could find each
other. This is really fun. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is really fun.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you as soon as possible. I don't know when that's going to be. And I strongly recommend that anybody who's been dabbling in an interest of Tantra but hasn't found their way yet to it, that they contact you. The lessons that I learned from you were invaluable, and there's not a puja or almost anything that I do that goes by that there's not some aspect of it that you're not in. You know what I mean? Like, you're in every aspect of it. You and I shared sacred breath together in something that we facilitated in Desert Hot Springs a long time ago. And so it's like you're with me all the time. You're with me in my creations, in my tantric creations, and you're very inspirational. And so I recommend that people contact you and find out for themselves. And the people in Hawaii, they don't even know the treat they're in for.
Well, thank you so much for that. And I would like to say that any time that we've been very close with someone, we are with them forever. And this an example of this is quantum entanglement. And I will let the listeners look that up. But quantum entanglement occurs as soon as we even hug each other.
Mm. Yes, I believe that too. And we don't fall out of love either. Love just changes form sometimes. But they're still with us. They're always with us. Anyone we let in. So true. Well, on that note, we will sign off for Sex and Happiness this week. To all my listeners, please tune in next time when I'll have another amazing expert on sex and happiness. And Kirby, thank you so much for agreeing to be my guest today.
This was really fun. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-